Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Yesterday, we spoke to Bob McQuaid about how getting help for his erectile dysfunction has changed his life. And this morning, we are going to talk about the big O, or the lack of them. I just want to say the next interview, chat, therapy session that we do on a weekly basis, this one in particular, is not for little ears. So if you have little ears around, maybe switch off or turn down the radio, because it is time for...
It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
And our sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, is here again. Hello.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going? I'm so happy we're going to be talking about the sexy stuff again.
Kids are back in school, most of them. So let's get to it. And I've given a warning, so I'm covered. Let's get rolling. Can you remind us what exactly an orgasm is?
I sure can. So an orgasm is a physical reflex that occurs when the muscles of the genitals tighten and then relax in a series of rhythmic, pleasurable, usually pleasurable contractions. So in someone with a vagina or clitoris, orgasm is not usually associated with the release of secretions, but many people with vaginas do gush or squirt. And for people with quick penises, they generally will ejaculate at the same time as they orgasm, but not always. So orgasm really is the muscular contractions okay. that most people experience as very pleasurable.
So what percentage of women have never once had an orgasm?
Oh, so actually it's like there's been quite, not loads of studies done, but quite a few. And from what we can tell, somewhere between 10 and 15, maybe even as close as 20% of people with vaginas, women and people with vaginas, have never, ever had an orgasm, which is pretty wild.
Okay. And why is that? Can psychological factors affect a woman's ability to orgasm? Is that a lot of it?
Yeah, so psychological can be a big part of it, and that can mean lots of different things. You know, it could be that someone has had trauma in their background, which makes it very difficult to orgasm for a variety of reasons. It could be to do with them not feeling particularly comfortable or safe with their sexual partner. It could be to do with shame. You know, a lot of people grew up with very little sex education. They might have been told that masturbation was dirty or wrong or just not talked about at all. And so they might have, you know, just a lot of kind of baggage around that, which can, for some people, mean that it makes it very difficult to orgasm. So there's okay. loads of psychological factors. And then you have things like, you know, depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. which again, for some people can make orgasming more difficult.
Are there medical conditions that can impact a woman's orgasms, or can it be a physical issue of some kind?
Yeah, so there's loads of different, you know, different conditions that can, you know, contribute to that as well, which can be to do with, you know, could be physically to do with something like arthritis, because of the pain involved, which mm-hmm. might mean that certain positions are very painful. Again, some people can orgasm easily when they experience pain, but a lot of people can't. And then a lot of it is going to be to do with the medications themselves that people might be taking for any sort of physical or emotional condition, which can, you know, are definitely tend to impact people in the direction of feeling, you know, maybe less sensitive or just finding it really difficult to reach that kind of peak that leads to orgasm. Medical conditions like diabetes, multiple sclerosis, wow. hormone imbalances, all of those can impact. And then, as I said, the medications as well.
Okay. Can they change? Can certain things in your life change your orgasm? For example, giving birth or the menopause? And how so?
Big time. So a lot of people will find that after they give birth, you know, some people find that they have lots more orgasms while they're pregnant, but then they find that after they give birth, which can be to do with the hormonal changes and also, again, various other kind of circumstantial factors, they might find that their orgasms become either much weaker, or it could be much shorter, or it'd be much more difficult to reach, or just that they're not having them at all. So that's actually quite common after birth and around menopause as well, or perimenopause. Okay. So it doesn't always go in that direction. Sometimes you find that it's actually the other direction and you're having lots more very, very pleasurable, strong orgasms.
Yay.
But it is very common for life changes, even things like, you know, massive grief. You know, if you've had a really shocking, you know, I don't know, job loss or someone, you know, passed away, people can find that that really impacts not just their kind of sexual desire for sex, but actually their capacity to orgasm, which isn't just to do with women, but it tends to impact people with vaginas more from what we've discovered.
Can we discuss the benefits of orgasms for a second?
Oh, my God. Yes, we can.
Go on.
So many, you know, it's like it lowers your blood pressure. It makes people less likely to have, you know, heart attacks. It's a massive stress relief. You know, it makes people just generally feel so much better and can, you know, really help your body iron out some kind of kinks as well. I mean, in the sense of like, you know, just having kind of like muscle relaxation, mm-hmm. which obviously some people, depending on how they orgasm or the way that they're reaching orgasm, could give them a crick in their neck. But for lots of people, they feel tons better after they either have sex or orgasm or both, because obviously you don't have to be having orgasms to have pleasurable sex, but for a lot of people that is a component of it.
Now, you said at the top there, not all orgasms feel good. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so for some people it could be to do again with hormones. Some people find that at certain times of the month or with particular types of stimulation, whether that's with particular toys or fingers or mouth or whatever it is, some people find that when they orgasm it feels more like either uncomfortable or painful, or that the a sense of a kind of pressure release is actually just not enjoyable. So, interestingly, some people will find that their orgasms or some of their orgasms are not enjoyable at all.
Okay. So what can you do if you can't orgasm? Should you go to your GP first of all, see if it's a medical thing, and then maybe a therapist after that? How would you do that?
So I find that generally GPs don't know very much about sex, and they're probably not going to have a huge amount of kind of knowledge. Now, mm-hmm. obviously there's some amazing GPs out there and some amazing ones who just aren't going to know a huge amount about sex. So hopefully they would, you know, quite quickly refer you on or give you resources. But I think expecting GPs to know loads is probably, it's a pipe dream, basically, Jen. Mm-hmm. So probably you're better off, you know, not trying to self-diagnose on the internet, because that'll tell you have all sorts of horrendous things wrong with you. You're better off kind of, you know, taking a bit of an inventory, a look at what's going on in your life. How much could this be to do with stress? What sort of things have changed? You know, for some people, they might find that when they have had a period of very little exercise, that might mean that they're, you know, both less interested in sex, but also potentially less likely to orgasm. It might be that you're in, you know, a long-term relationship and you've just kind of gotten into a bit of a rut with your partner, let's say, in the way that you have sex, or maybe you're having sex a lot less frequently. So just kind of looking at, okay, what's happening when I'm having solo sex, you know, masturbation, if I'm doing that, if not, why am I not? And what's happening with partnered sex? Is that something that's happening regularly? Not so regularly. Why is that? And then having maybe conversations around that with partners. And that's probably, you know, your first port of call. And then if you're, you know, really finding that you're, you know, you can't make any headway with that, either because you come to an impasse with a partner where you just have maybe very different sexual desires or libido or whatever it is, then it's probably worth going and finding, you know, a sex therapist, a professional of some kind, who will be able to, you know, mediate those conversations and give you loads of ideas for how to feel more connected and either care less about having orgasms, which is sometimes, you know, more useful than, you know, necessarily trying to have more orgasms. Or it could be that they give you loads of ideas and practices and, you know, little exercises that you can do so that you can be coming all over the place.
Yes. And how can people have better ones? I know what you're going to say here, but I'm going to let you say, because it's been a while. The kids are back in school. Go for it. Go on.
But the answers are generally lube and communication, right?
You didn't say, you haven't said master me, go on, say it, master me. Go on, say them.
Masturbate.
There we go. It's been a while, Rachel, since you've said that.
Switch it up. Switch up how you're doing it. You know, the time of day, the toys you use, or if you've been using toys a lot, try using your fingers. Masturbate with a partner. So you each either masturbate each other or, you know, yourselves in front of each other. Do it, you know, in a different position. You know, many of us get very used to using one toy or a certain, set of fingers in a very particular motion in a certain position, usually, you know, on the bed. And so that can be really great to switch that up and just to start to, you know, see what it's like to be able to come in different positions. You're probably going to have a great time.
Somebody just texts in saying, from the national ploughing to national orgasms, diversity of Irish radio at its finest. And I'm so glad I gave the little ears warning there, because we needed it. Listen, very good advice, very good tips. Thank you so much, Rachel. We'll talk again next week. That is Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She's on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She will be back next Wednesday, as always, with more free sex and relationship therapy. If there's anything in particular you would like us to discuss on the show, you can email the team. Yes, you can. Jen@rte.ie.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.